بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah's salah and salam be upon the noble prophet, the believers of his family, and the noble companions, and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We continue the explanation of Umdatul Ahkam, the basic reference on principal rulings, and this class is class number 17, and this will cover hadiths number 18, 19, and 20. And we are still talking about the siwak. The second hadith in this chapter is from Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman narrated, may Allah be pleased with him, he narrated, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قام من الليل يشوص فاه بالسواك. يشوص فاه بالسواك. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever he got up at night, he used to clean his mouth with siwak. The narrator is Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman bin Jabir al-Absi, may Allah be pleased with him. He accepted Islam with his father, and they intended to attend the battle of Badr, but the mushriks turned them away, and they witnessed the battle of Uhud, and the mushriks killed his father. And he, Hudhayfa, the son, narrated many ahadith from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said one time, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam told me what occurred and what shall occur until the day of resurrection. And he, Hudhayfa, was called Sahib al-Sir, Sahib al-Sir, the person of the secret, the one who held the secret. Why? Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave him the names of the hypocrites. Gave him the names of the hypocrites who intended to plot against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his return from the battle of Tabuk. So he knew them, and this is the secret which he held. He knew the hypocrites by name. Shahida Hudhayfa. Hudhayfa attended the battle of Al-Khandaq and the battles afterwards, and also the opening of Iraq. And Umar put him in authority on Al-Mada'in in the east, and then he stayed there in Al-Mada'in until he died in the year 36 after Hijrah. 36 after Hijrah, radiyallahu anhu wa an abi. The subject of the hadith is the ruling concerning the siwak upon getting up at night. Upon getting up at night. The overall explanation: sleep is time when the mouth's odor changes, so it needs cleaning. And in this hadith, Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, whenever he got up at night for the night prayer, for tahajjud, he used to clean his mouth with the siwak, rub it with his siwak, cleaning, and also removing the odor. and so that his salah is established on the most perfect condition of purification. The benefits of the hadith. The benefits of the hadith. The permissibility of using the siwak to clean the mouth upon getting up at night, and to do that intensely, especially for the person who intends to make the salah, who intends to make the salah. The second benefit, at-tasawwuk, using siwak for cleaning, when the mouth's odor change, and this is taken from the change of the odor that takes place at night while sleeping. Thirdly, the care of the Islamic Sharia regarding purification and cleanliness. Fourthly, at-tasawwuk, using siwak for cleaning, covers the entire mouth, so therefore it covers the teeth, the gum, and the tongue. It covers the teeth, the gum, and the tongue. This ends up the explanation of Hadith Hudhayfa, Hadith number 18. And now we move to Hadith number 19. An Aisha, and this is the third hadith concerning the siwak. An Aisha رضي الله عنها قالت دخل عبد الرحمن بن أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله عنهما على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنا مسندته إلى صدري ومع عبد الرحمن سواك رطب يستن به فأبده رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بصره فأخذت السواك فقضمته ونقضته وطيبته ثم دفعته إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فاستن به أي تسوك به فما رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم استن استنانا أحسن منه فما عدا أن فرغ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رفع يده أو إصبعه أو إصبعه ثم قال في الرفيق الأعلى ثلاثة ثم قضى وكانت تقول مات بين حاقنتي وذاقنتي وفي لفظ فرأيته ينظر إلي فعرفت أنه يحب السواك فقلت آخذه لك فأشار برأسه النعم هذا لفظ البخاري ولمسلم نحوه. This hadith is reported by Bukhari and Muslim and through different narrations, and Aisha, from Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her and her father, and she mentioned that Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu anhuma entered upon me with a siwak in his hand, and while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was leaning against my chest, and he entered with a siwak in his hand, and I was supporting the back of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam against my chest, so he started looking, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looking at it. So I took it. فَقَضِمْتُهُ, meaning I chewed on the side of the siwak, and in another narration I broke it. and maybe that she broke the side of it, and then she chewed on it by the sides of her teeth so as to soften it. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stanna bihi, took it and make tasawwuq, cleaned his mouth with it alayhi salatu wa salam. And she said that I have never seen him doing tasawwuq better than this one. And in another narration, I saw the Prophet ﷺ looking at it, and I knew that he loved the siwak. So I said to him, shall I take it for you? He nodded in agreement. So I took it, and it was too stiff for him to use. So I said, shall I soften it for you? He nodded his approval. So I softened it, and he cleaned his teeth with it. And in front of him there was a jug or a tin containing water. He started dipping his hand in the water and rubbing his face with it, and he said, "Fi al-Rafiq al-A'la." Meaning with the Most High companions, with the highest companions, meaning in paradise. He said it 3 times. ثم قضى. Then he expired and his hand dropped down alayhi salatu wasalam. And she used to say that he died alayhi salatu wasalam on her chest, leaning against it. بين حاقنتي وذاقنتي, between the upper abdomen, lower chest part, meaning up to the throat on her chest عليها رضوان الله and عليه الصلاة والسلام. This is the hadith. As to the narrator of the hadith, as you heard, is Aisha, Umm al-Mu'mineen. Aisha, radiallahu anha. And we spoke about her biography in hadith number 3 of this book. And Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr is her brother. May Allah be pleased with them both. He accepted Islam before the opening of Mecca. And it is said, on the day of the opening of Mecca, and he became a good Muslim, and he died in Mecca in the year 58 after Hijrah. The subject of the hadith is ruling of siwak at any time, and tasawwuk using others' siwak, and tasawwuk using others' siwak. This is the subject. The overall explanation Umm al-Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, tells that her brother Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr, may Allah be pleased with them both, entered upon the Prophet ﷺ in the house of Aisha, and she was leaning him against her chest, and he was in the process of leaving this life to join the Most High companions in paradise. And Abdul Rahman, her brother, had a siwak, fresh. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam looked at it eager to have it, saw and he gazed at it. So Aisha knew that he loved it. So she asked him to take it for him, and he nodded in agreement, alayhi salatu wasalam, either because it was difficult for him to speak or he was busy with remembrance and dua. So take it, and she took it. May Allah be pleased with her. And she broke its side, meaning the part that was used, and then she chewed with the side of her teeth on it and softened it until it became ready to use. Then she gave it to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he made tasawwuk, the best that she had seen, in order to meet his Lord on the perfect, most perfect condition of purity and cleanness. And afterwards, after he finished the tasawwuk, he raised his hands or his fingers or his finger, asking Allah the Most High to make him in the company of the Most High in paradise. Then he, alayhi salatu wasalam, died. And she, Aisha, used to speak that Allah, used to say that Allah bestowed upon her the blessing of having the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam on her day and in her house and leaning against her chest in her apartment, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mixed her saliva with her saliva. His saliva made my saliva mix with his saliva at his death. فصلوات الله وسلامه عليه ورضي عنها وأرضاها. The benefits of the hadith. First, the love of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام for the siwak. Second, permissibility to make tasawwuk at any time, because the Prophet ﷺ approved for Abd al-Rahman bin Abi Bakr seeing him making tasawwuk. Third benefit, permissibility to use the siwak of another person as long as it is not feared that there could be a harm in using it. Fourth benefit, permissibility for the entrance of relatives, those related to the spouse, visiting those from the relatives who may be sick. Also, permissibility to make tasawwuk in the presence of the noble and elder person, and this does not represent disrespect, because Abd al-Rahman bin Abi Bakr, Aisha's brother, made the tasawwuk before the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was elder than him and most noble of the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. The fourth, or the fifth, or rather the sixth benefit, is approval of using the nodding signaling if it is understood. Now, and from that is the acceptance of nodding signal by the dhamm. So the dhamm signal is acceptable because there is no other way to understand except through it. Second, it is also approved for someone who is unable, due to a certain cause, unable to utter speak due to a certain cause other than the dhamm. And this is evident in the story of the young girl whom the Jew squeezed her head between two rocks, and before she died she nodded when she was asked as to who was the person. She nodded at him that he is such and such. She gave a signal and they got hold of him and they punished him in the same manner he did to her, meaning the companions. Also, it is permissible when it is legally not acceptable to speak. It is permissible to use the nodding signal or the signal when it is legally not permissible to speak, like when the Prophet ﷺ signaled to the followers in his salah when he was ill for them to sit. Also, it is permissible if there is a need. The Prophet ﷺ signaled to some who were there with him present to bring something. So it is permissible if there is a need. Also, it is permissible if there is no need sometimes. Like when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam commanded the believers to prostrate upon seven bones, he alayhi salatu wasalam signaled to his nose as one of them. Signaling cannot replace speech in making a testimony. And it cannot replace making an oath except from one who is incapable, like the dumb. Also, if he makes a signal in his salah, the person, the salah is not invalid. However, if deliberately he speaks in salah, the salah is invalid. The next benefit, the firm heart of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his firm composition, whereby he noticed the siwak and made the dua while in the state of death, while dying. The next benefit, the smartness of Aisha radiallahu anha when she was able to pick up immediately from her notice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sight that he was interested in the siwak. The next benefit, affirming the ulu, the highness, the transcendence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is high above heavens, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said with the high companions in paradise, and pointing upwards. The next benefit, the merit of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, in her good relation with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and in his death in her apartment, and on her day leaning against her chest and with his saliva mixing with hers. Another important benefit is that the thinking of the person dying in death while facing death is considered, meaning as long as he is able to think, then his words are considered. How is this deducted? This is taken from his nodding signal to Aisha. And here certain matters depend upon this. Number one, the acceptance of the tawbah in this stage. And this should not be confused with the time while facing death when it is not acceptable. The time when it is not acceptable is made clear in the sunnah. Inna Allah Ta'ala, Allah the Most High, يَقْبَلُ تَوْبَةَ عَبْدِهِ مَا لَمْ يُغَرْغِرْ. Allah accepts the tawbah, the repentance of his slave, as long as his soul does not reach the throat. Then here there is certainty of death, no time for repentance. But before that, in the state of facing death, it is acceptable, and the wordings are. And this is also relevant from the hadith of the young girl whose head was smashed between two stones, where she nodded in a nodded signal as to who was the person who did that to her, and that was accepted from her by the companions. The next benefit, the permissibility of the siwak for the person facing death, because this is pleasing to Allah and cleansing to the mouth, preparing himself to meet Allah in the most perfect clean state. Another benefit, the permissibility to break the siwak if it is the siwak of others, and to cleanse it and to soften it before using it by another person. This is the last point of benefit. And then we move to the last hadith, and this is hadith number 20, and this would be the fourth hadith under this subject. Hadith number 20. عن أبي موسى الأشعري رضي الله عنه قال أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يستاك. قال أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يستاك بسواك رطب. قال وطرف السواك على لسانه وهو يقول أع والسواك في فيه كأنه يتهوع. He said that I came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he was using the siwak, cleaning his teeth, and the side of the siwak was on his tongue while he was retching, while the siwak was in his mouth, as if he was retching, saying "Oh, while the siwak was in his mouth. The narrator of the hadith is Abu Musa Abdullah bin Qais al-Ash'ari al-Qahtani radiallahu anhu. He came to Mecca and accepted Islam. Then he returned to his people and brought 50 of them to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in Medina at the time when Khaybar was open, and he had a beautiful voice in reciting the Noble Quran. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam assigned him in authority over Yemen, and when he, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, died, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari returned to Medina and he shared in the opening of Ash-Sham, of greater Syria area. Then Umar radiallahu anhu assigned him over Basra in Iraq, and then he opened the Ahwaz and Asbahan, parts of the east of Iraq in contemporary Iran. Then Uthman designated him later, took him from the authority over Basra to Al-Kufa, and the people of Kufa in Iraq benefited from his fiqh, and he died in Kufa in Iraq in the year 44 after Hijrah, in the year 44 after Hijrah radiallahu anhu. The subject of the hadith, clarifying the placing of the siwak, clarifying the placing of the siwak. The overall explanation: the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to make tasawwuk extensively and intensely sometimes, and in this hadith Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu tells that he came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam one day and he found him intensely rubbing his mouth with the siwak, and that he would put the siwak on the internal side of his tongue, and a retching would be heard as if it is the retching of someone vomiting. The benefits of the hadith: permissibility of tasawwuk on the tongue as it is on the teeth and on the gum. Second, permissibility to do that extensively and profoundly, and that this is permissible even in the presence of others. Exception, if unless there would be some in the group or those present who may feel disgusted from the extensive or profound use of the siwak, then in this case it shouldn't be done. Then in this case it should not be done. This brings the end of the hadith in this book regarding the siwak. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a benefit for us all. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.